God bless you, beloved, and welcome to Grateful for Love. This is Regina. In today's lesson, we want to start in the book of Galatians, and we will be in this book, in this particular chapter, for several episodes, but we want to begin in chapter 5, starting at verse 16 and 17. And as mentioned before, we will continue in this chapter going down through verse 25 in future episodes. But today, we're covering verses 16 and 17. And reading from the NIV of Galatians 5, it says, "I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." And this is found up under the subheading of Life by the Spirit, and that will be our overall theme for these next few episodes that we'll be covering with you. Now, to read the same two verses from the Message translation, it says it this way: "My counsel is this: live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are contrary to each other, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day." So Paul is giving them, there are two ways here of life, and each are contrary to the other. The first one is the part that is for the root of sinful self-interest that's in us. And it is actually at odds, or it opposes, if you will, our free spirit. And just like the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. And so, but when we don't allow God's Spirit to lead and guide us, then we find ourselves feeding into the compulsions of selfishness. And so, therefore, this fleshly way of thinking, of living, is in direct opposition to a free spirit that has received Christ and has been freed from this dominating sin nature that we all inherited. And so we want to be sure that we are living freely through Him and being led by His Spirit and His instruction on how He wants us to carry ourselves in our lives each and every day. And it says these two ways of life are contrary to each other, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way. And so He died in order that we can live freely the way that we were always intended to live, and that would be in right standing, in right relationship with Him. And so He's giving us the means to be able to do that. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder what it is or how to go about doing it. He lives on the inside of us by His Spirit to empower us to live the way that will please Him. Now, to read these same verses from the Amplified, it says it this way: "But I say, walk and live habitually," and I love this, "habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, which is human nature without God." And so, and I think the operative word here is habitually. So as we are walking and living habitually in the Holy Spirit, as we are responding to Him, following His lead, being under His subjection, submitting to Him on our daily walk with Him, then we won't be craving and going after desires of the flesh, which would be human nature without God, because now we do have God. And so we want to open ourselves up to him fully, that he can have free course in and through our lives. And then verse 17 says in the Amplified, "For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, which is godless human nature." So the flesh is the godless human nature in a person, in a man, in men. "For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do." Now, I think it's important to give you a quick backstory of the book of Galatians. And it's been a while since we've covered any verses totally out of this book as far as our episode verses are concerned. And so this letter that the apostle wrote to the Galatians, it was written in order to bring them back to true faith and practice of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because they had been misled through the false teaching that they also needed to observe the law of Moses in order to be right with God. And so Paul was letting them know that this is totally and all about your faith in the finished work of Christ himself, and not in us, in them observing the law of Moses, to add that into having faith and trust in God, in Christ. And so he wanted to be sure that they were clear on that. He just wanted to be sure that they knew and understood that their salvation was based upon faith alone and not works, but faith alone in what Christ had done for them. And in faith alone would put them in right standing with God. Now, I want to look at some cross-references, beloved, and you'll find that as I begin to read some of these cross-references, they'll be very familiar once again. And so we won't be doing much expounding on them this time, because we've covered them in previous episodes. But I wanted to be sure that we still read them, because it goes to show once more and again that the Word of God is interconnected. It is interrelated, and that no one verse stands alone. These verses are cross-referenced and come by way of other passages from the Bible, because they all are referring to and talking about the same things. And that is what God, how he sent his son to come into the world to die for our sins, and how sin has been this long time wedge in between man and God. And so Christ has rid the dominating factor that sin has had in the life of men, of mankind. And so now we are free to be able to serve and come to God through the blood of Jesus for ourselves, and not have to pay the penalty for sin, because Christ has already done that for us. Now, our first cross-reference is going to align itself with Galatians 5 and 16. And so these verses will be verse 18 of Galatians 5. So 5 and 18 of Galatians says, and this is from the NIV, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." And so, as I mentioned before, the church had been in Galatia had been told that they still had to, or still needed to, observe the law of Moses. And so here Paul is very deliberate and very clear that you are not under law if you are led by the Spirit. So you don't need both, and you don't need the law to be in right standing with God. All you need is your faith in Christ alone. And when you receive him as your Lord and Savior, beloved, his Spirit comes in to live in you, to lead you, to lead me, to guide us, to direct us, to help us
throughout our daily lives to live a life that will please Him. So the law is no longer needed, and we are therefore not under the law. Why? Because Christ fulfilled all of the law. So it is no longer what we need to have to be right with God. And then also let's go down to verse 25 of the same chapter. And 25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So if we live by the Spirit, we should be in step. We should be, if you will, synchronized with the Holy Spirit. We received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit comes in, so we want to be in step with Him. Let's also turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. Romans 8 and verse 2. And these verses will be coming from the episode that we did a few weeks back in regards to no condemnation. So they're coming up again in today's episode. I won't read verse 1, but verse 2 says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Through Jesus Christ. Not through the law of Moses, but through Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. And we also want to look at verses 4 through 6 as part of our cross references. And of course, you can read all the verses in between, but these were the ones that were specifically mentioned within our cross reference section in the middle of our Bibles. So verses 4 through 6 says, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So it's pretty cut and dry here. For the person who is being led by their sinful nature, then they have their mind set on doing what that nature, that sinful nature, desires it to do, for them to do. But for those who are living in accordance with the Spirit, then their minds are set on what the Spirit desires for them to do. And there was also a word that I meant to also mention in terms of the word that we used in the reading of our episode verses earlier. The word was gratify, G-R-A-T-I-F-Y. And that simply means to give pleasure or satisfaction, to indulge or to satisfy a desire. And so here we're seeing that when we're walking by the Spirit, we don't want to and we will not be gratifying or indulging the flesh. But for those who live according to their sinful nature, they will. They will seek to fulfill those desires that their sinful nature is demanding them to fulfill. Let's also look at verse number 9. So go down a little bit further down to verse number 9, and it says, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. So if He lives in you, then you are controlled by Him, if He lives in you. And if He doesn't live in you, then He's not there to control you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit, here he goes, of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So the Spirit of Christ is not in you, then you don't belong to Christ. And then going down a little further to verse number 14, it says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So those who are controlled by, led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You belong to God when you are controlled by Him, when He is living in you, dwelling in you. Now we want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And from the NIV, this verse says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." So when a person receives the Lord as their Savior, Jesus as their Lord and Savior, rather, then everything is made new. You become a new creation. The old is gone. The old is no longer the most important part of you. It is no longer of anything of value, if you will, on how you now want to live your life in the Lord. And so it says that you have become new because of your coming into Christ. Now, the next few verses are going to be covering and aligning themselves with Galatians 5 and 17. So we want to turn now to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 23. And for this, I'm going to be reading out of the Good News Translation. I think it's going to give us a clearer reading. So this is Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 15. Let me go up just a tad here. 15. And these verses fall up under the subheading of the conflict in us. And verse 15 starts by saying, in the Good News Translation, "I do not understand what I do, for I don't do what I would like to do, but instead I do what I hate. 16, since what I do is what I don't want to do, this shows that I agree that the law is right. 17, so I am not really the one who does this thing. Rather, it is the sin that lives in me. 18, I know that good does not live in me, that is, in my human nature." Very clear on that. My human nature. There's no good in my human nature. "For even though the desire to do good is in me, I am not able to do it. I don't do the good I want to do." This is verse 19. "Instead, I do the evil that I do not want to do." 20. "If I do what I don't want to do, this means that I am no longer the one who does it. Instead, it is the sin that lives in me." 21. "So I find that this law is at work. When I want to do what is good, what is evil is the only choice I have." And this, of course, is referring to the sinful nature that we all inherited. We might want to do good, but because the sinful nature is so dominating, we don't really have a choice. We may want to, but we don't are not able to be able to do it. It says, "Because the evil is my only choice that I have." 22 says, "My inner being delights in the law of God, but I see a different law at work in my body, a law that fights against the law which my mind approves of. It makes me a prisoner to the law of sin which is at work in my body. What an unhappy man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is taking me to death?" And 25 says, "Thanks be to God who does this through our Lord Jesus Christ. This then is my condition. On my own,
I can serve God's law only with my mind, while my human nature serves the law of sin. But we find out that Jesus Christ comes to our rescue. So apart from him, we are still chained and bound to our sinful nature. We might want to do good, think about doing good, but there's nothing in us to keep us at that, wanting and actually doing good because of the sinful nature's dominance. But thanks be, it says, to God who does through this, through our Lord, it says, Jesus Christ. So he is our champion. He comes to our rescue, and he broke this sinful nature and the tyranny it had over us, how it would dominate us and kept us apart from having that right relationship with the Father. Jesus was able to conquer that. And so what a wonderful Savior we have in knowing what he has done for us. Now, I want to complete our lesson today by reading from the Good News Translation as well as the Passion, our episode verses. And this is back to Galatians 5, 16 through 17 in the Good News Translation. What I say is this: let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will not satisfy the desires of the human nature. For what our human nature wants is opposed to what the Spirit wants, and what the Spirit wants is opposed to what our human nature wants. These two are enemies, and this means that you cannot do what you want to do. You cannot do what you want to do because you have this conflict going on. And apart from Jesus being your champion, you can't win. So he has come to free us from this conflict. Now, the Passion says it this way, and this is under the subheading of the Holy Spirit, our victory. Let me emphasize this. As you yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. When your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder him from living free within you. And I would dare say we are then grieving him. And the Holy Spirit, intense cravings hinder your self-life from dominating you. So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life and the new creation life of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, beloved, is here to give us this tremendous freedom, this free course in the Lord that was always meant and intended for us to have, and to have this right relationship, to be in right standing with the Father. And so he wants us to know that when we submit to his leadership, his guidance, his help, his direction, his counsel, he will give us and enable us each and every day of our lives to be just what the Father would have us to be, and to be pleasing in his sight in every way. So let us all consider the lesson today, asking him to be our leader and guide, and submitting to him that he might get the glory in and through our lives. God bless you, beloved. Until next time, shalom, shalom.